Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, entitled Description of Mystic Yoga Perfections. Text number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Parama Anumaye. In the form of atoms. Chittam. His consciousness. Bhutanam, of the material elements. Mayi, in me. Vanjayan, attaching. Kala, of time. Shukshma, subtle. Artatam,
being the substance.
Yogi,
the yogi.
Lagi manam,
the mystic perfection.
Lagima, avapnuyat,
may obtain.
Translation: I exist within everything, and I am therefore the essence of the atomic constituents of material elements. By attaching his mind to me in this form, the yogi may achieve the perfection called lagima, in which he realizes the subtle atomic substance of time. Purport: Srimad Bhagavatam elaborately explains that kala, or time, is the transcendental form of the Lord that moves the material world. Since the five gross elements are composed of atoms, the atomic particles are the subtle substance or manifestation of the movement of time. Much subtle than time is the personality of God in himself, who expands his potencies as the time factor. By understanding all these things clearly, the yogi obtains lagima siddhi, or the power to make himself lighter than the lightest. Any questions? Hare Krishna. Translation: I exist within everything, and I am therefore the essence of the atomic constituents of material elements. By attaching his mind to me in this form, the yogi may achieve the perfection called lagima, by which he realizes the subtle atomic substance of time. Om Agyan Timirandasya Genangena Shalakaya Chaksunimilitam Janatasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Govo Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare So obviously the subject matter of the verse today is time. Actually, time is one of the main subject matters in Vedic literature. There's a whole chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam dedicated to time. It's called Time According to the Atom. And of course, Srila Prabhupada lists time as one of the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, interestingly enough. God, the living entity, material nature, activity, and kala, or time. Of course, time is a very subtle thing, and it can't be perceived as easily as we may perceive material nature or the living entity or activity, or even God for that matter. You can come to the temple, you can see God, hear us, Shishirada Bhavaji. And one day when Premanjani Chiruti Bhakti Velochane Na, when your eyes are covered with the salve of love, you can see the Lord standing before you by His causeless mercy. But time, it's more difficult to perceive time. How do we perceive time? Well, we perceive time as the passing of seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years, decades, centuries, millenniums, ad infinitum. Time has three phases, the past and the present and the future. This is all very hard to grasp, especially if you were up late last night. The subtleties of time. But we perceive time through its passing. Nevertheless, although time is very subtle, it's very powerful. Just like more powerful than this gross body is the subtle mind. Sometimes subtle things are more powerful than gross things. Like you can hit a person and that hurts, but if you insult a person, he may feel the pain for many years to come. So sometimes subtle things are more powerful than the gross things. Like we have the atomic bomb. Subtle how the atom is split and causes such great chaos and destruction. So time is very subtle, but very powerful. Under the influence of time, everything in this world, from the tiny atom up to the universe, is eventually destroyed. Therefore, time is taken as a manifestation, or you could even say directly a manifestation, a representative of Krishna. Does Krishna say? He says, Kalosmi loka shayakrit pravridho. He says in his Gita that time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds. You see how powerful time is. You can think of many powerful things in this world. Great personalities, great nations, great civilizations. But under the influence of time, they all disappear. Once we were in France, I remember, that was the place that I had the opportunity to associate with Prabhupada. In the early 70s, he would come and spend a week or 10 days. And it was very interesting to go on the morning walks with Srila Prabhupada, because he would comment on the immediate surroundings in a Krishna conscious way. We were there all the time doing different things, and when Prabhupada came, he saw the same things but taught us a lesson. I took a morning walk, and Prabhupada said, I have seen many statues of your Napoleon. He said, Napoleon and France are like one, but where is Napoleon now? France is there, but where is Napoleon? Remember that? I went, wow, it's true. So under the influence of time, everything comes into being, it stays for some time, and then it dwindles, and then it destroys. Thousands of years ago, when the Greek Empire was reigning in Europe, it was very, very powerful. No one thought that it would ever finish. At that time, the Greeks were thinking they would rule the world. And then they had one bee in their bonnet called Alexander, who took birth in Macedonia, which was a very rebellious state of Greece. And Greece considered it part of their country, their civilization. But Alexander the Great gave an identity in Macedonia. And then he went off and conquered the world for all practical purposes. What was known as the world at that time, I don't know what's going on down here in Australia, but the world, what they called the world, he conquered. He even went to India, entered in and conquered part of India. Then he was conquered himself by his senses and Chandragupta. So it's gone. Now it's just a tourist spot. You go to Greece because the Pantheon and different things like that. So where is it? It's gone. Similarly, no one ever thought that the Roman civilization would end. It was so powerful. It also conquered pretty much of the known world. Of course, they didn't know about China and places like that. So powerful. These children are making it too much noise. And the British Empire, in more recent history, there was a saying that the sun never sets on the British Empire. And now the sun never rises on the British Empire. When you think of Britain, you think of foggy London. What happened? Time. And similarly, no one here in Australia can imagine that one day this country may become a third world country. What? Australia? We've weathered the recession and we're doing well and trying to protect our environment and not making the mistakes that the countries overseas may make. But Albert Einstein once said that I can't concentrate because of the children making noise. Albert Einstein said that World War III will be fought with nuclear weapons and World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. I'll just be cavemen. So time is very subtle but very powerful, and being all powerful, Kalashmi, time is a representation of Krishna. Whatever is powerful in this world indicates the supreme power of God. There's a whole chapter like that, the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where we're taught to see the opulences of the Absolute, taught to see Krishna in his creation, like you can see a painter in his painting. You look at a painting, oh, that was done by such, oh, that's Van Gogh, oh, that's this. So you can see the Lord even within his energies, within his material nature. Amazing thing is that although time is the great destroyer, we don't notice the passing of time. We think that we can live here forever. People are thinking like that because they're not making any plans for the future. They make some plans for the future, for their education, for their career, for their retirement, but boss, that's it. Because of a lack of spiritual education, because of a lack of spiritual knowledge, they don't know that this life is but just a flash in a pan, a drop of water on the lotus flower. Just children are making too much noise. It's hard to concentrate. Philosophy takes focused attention. It's actually a symptom of the conditioned soul not to be able to see God or even his representative. For example, difficult to see his original beautiful spiritual form. What to speak of even his material form as time. And because we don't see the passing of time, we don't either take up spiritual life or we don't practice spiritual life seriously. We procrastinate. Yes, I'm devotee, but I've got time. Like Prahlad Maharaj's friends, when he was preaching to them about the urgency of utilizing this human form of life for being Krishna conscious, they said, Prahlad, we've got time. We're just kids. We'll become serious about Krishna consciousness when we become 60. That's how old I am. About time to get serious about Krishna consciousness. We'll become serious about spiritual life when we get old. And Prahlad Maharaj, although he was 5, he was a great philosopher. He said to his friends, all right, well, you'll become Krishna conscious when you're old. Old age means just before death, but you could die tomorrow, so you could be old today. Do not little babies die in the womb? That means they're old people even before they're born. So he said, you know, you should become very serious about Krishna. And because he was such a powerful bhakta, they all surrendered. This is the amazing thing that a pure devotee can immediately inspire us to take up Krishna consciousness with all sincerity, as Prabhupada did. Well, this is the mentality of the materialist, that although everyone around him is dying, he thinks he'll live here forever. He can't perceive the passing of time. He'll never die. Like Prabhupada gave the example of the goats lined up in front of the slaughterhouse. There's a slaughterhouse killing the goats, and all the goats are lined up outside. But as they come up to the door of the slaughterhouse, because they're oblivious of what's happening, they're just munching the grass. Right up to the moment they grab them and pull them in the door. So Maharaj Yudhishthira addresses the same point in the Mahabharata. He says, Ahanyahani Bhutani Gachantila Himalayam Sheshishtavaram Ichanti Kimascharyam Ataparam. Very famous verse. Every day hundreds of millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death. Still, those who are remaining think that they'll live forever. What could be more amazing than this? So why? Because we're not aware of the passing of time. We can't perceive Krishna's. But under the influence of time, everyone must die. Actually, you get a little bit of an appreciation of the power of time through photography. When you see the old pictures of the Polish tour and how young everyone looked, like little children. And then I'm getting old. But even when I look at the devotees today, when they were on the first, they looked like children. Prahlad looked like a baby. When he was 15, he was just, we just took the bottle away from him. So photography helps to make you a little serious. You know, we like to have our photo taken up until we're about 35. So this is time, a subtle destroyer influencing. We go through different transitions. But people are very foolish. They think they can stop time. They can stop the aging process. They can stop death. They think like that. I haven't heard of so much in recent history. Actually, I did recently. I read a scientific article on the airplane that they're coming up with. They're hoping that by the year 2040, they'll be able to prolong everyone's life to well over 110 years. Don't smile, because you won't be here. 40 or 50 years. Oh, you'll be here, but you'll be too late. They're thinking like that. They can remember in the early days, Prabhupada used to say, they're thinking that will stop old age and death. This is foolishness. Can't stop the passing of time. There's a famous story of the ride to Ahmedabad, that the master sent his servant to the market to fetch some goods in the morning. And when the servant was there at the market, somehow or other, he saw death personified doing his work there. You know, the Grim Reaper, covered in this hood over there, and the scepter there, walking around and looking. See, oh my God, death's come for me. And he got on his horse and he rode out of town on the road to Ahmedabad. And when the master heard that his servant had been scared by death personified and he'd left his service and went to Ahmedabad, the master went down to the market and he saw death. He said, "Death, what are you doing? You came to take my servant, you rascal." And Death looked at his little black book and he said, No, I didn't have an appointment with your servant this morning in the market. I have an appointment with your servant at 2 p.m. on the road to Ahmedabad. And by the way, I have an appointment with you right now. You can't cheat death. You can't cheat time, you can't cheat the Supreme Destroyer. Well, all this will come to pass. As George Harrison said, all things come to pass. I like to tell the story of one sculptor. In ancient times, he was so expert you could hardly tell the difference between what he sculpted and the person he sculpted. You know how the person sits for the pose, the painting? Like, sometimes our ISKCON artists used to do the same thing in the early days because they had a quota to produce so many paintings for the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So to facilitate, they would have different devotees pose for the different personalities, like in the Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. So now when I look at those paintings in the Chaitanya Char, I can recognize, that's my god brother, that's my other god brother. They'd sit to pose like that. So this sculptor, he was so good that he would have somebody pose for the sculpting, like, and then you could hardly tell from a distance what was the original and what was the sculpting. So he was a bit of a philosopher, and he was thinking that, well, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Who wants to die? No one wants to die. So he's thinking, how I can cheat this death and go on enjoying my life. He said, I know how I'll cheat Yamaraj. He said, I've got this plan. So he went to an astrologer. And this was a Pakka Brahman astrologer. And that astrologer was so good, he could tell the sculptor when he was going to die. Actually, astrologers can't do that, but very rarely, if ever, they'll tell you that for obvious reasons. It's there, just like your birth is there, your death is there. Chanaka Pandit says certain things are determined as you come out of the womb. There's no changing it. It's set in stone. It's set in the flesh of your hand in the form of lines. It's in the stars. It's your destiny by dint of your previous activity and your consciousness at the moment of your last death. When you'll take birth, how much education you'll receive, how much money you'll get, and when you'll die. These things cannot be changed. And a good astrologer can look at it and say, oh yes, you were born here, you'll get this much money, your marriage will be a success or a wreck, or, you know, you'll this, that. And they'll say, oh, you'll die, but who wants to tell you when you're going, who wants to hear when they're going to die? There was one great king who, by dint of his pious activities, was elevated temporarily to the heavenly planets, and he had a moment's darshan with the devatas, one king of the earth. And the demigod said, do you have any questions before you leave back to your kingly duties on the earth? He said, yes, I have one question. When am I going to die? So the devatas, who have superior powers, mystic powers, they checked their little book. Ah, you're going to die in one moment. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says, that king was such a pious, such a saintly person, he immediately surrendered completely to Krishna at that moment and achieved spiritual perfection. In one moment. How much do you have to, how much longer do you have to live? One moment. Atmanivedanam, I surrender fully to Krishna. How fortunate it was. We're spending our lifetime trying to surrender. And it's questionable if we'll make it. And he made it because he was so sincere. Like Prabhupada said, you can chant Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes and not attain the goal. But if you chant one name of Krishna, Shudhanam, purely, Hare Krishna, that didn't work, then immediately you descend to the spirit. So this potter, he went to the astrologer and he said, please, I want to know, I here's some donation. When will I die? So he checked his book. You will die exactly 1 year from today. At exactly this time, exactly this minute, exactly this second. Now that makes it pretty easy. I've got 365 full days to become Krishna conscious, like Maharaj Katvanga. No. He didn't have that mentality. He didn't have that desire. He wasn't Krishna conscious. He was on the path of materialism, not spiritualism. So he thought, I've got 1 year to cheat death. I've got 1 year to manipulate time. Sounds like the demons. They want to manipulate Krishna. They want to kill Krishna. So he said, what he did, this was his plan. You know, he enjoyed life. And then as the months went by, about 8 months went by, so 4 months left. So he started making, sculpting statues of himself. And by the time the month arrived, the week arrived, the day arrived, the hour arrived, that Jamaraj, who's Lord of Death, had come to take him, he had these, in his artistic studio, he had these 9 statues of himself in different poses, you know, like eating and reading and lying down and so forth and so on. So he looked at his, well, they don't have watches in those days. He looked at the sundial. And he, you know, 5 minutes until Yamaraj comes, and then 4 minutes, and then, 2 minutes, okay. No problem. 10, 9, 8 seconds. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I'll tell you the rest of the story next year when I come. Should I tell all the rest of it now? We can finish class early and have a big kirtan now. Who wants to hear the end of the... Okay. 5, 4, 3, and then he went in amongst all the 10 statues which were placed around the room, and he froze. Suddenly Yamaraj... What does Yamaraj ride on? Huh? A bull. There's a bull there, and Yamaraj. And he gets up, looks at his book. Okay. And Yamaraj became momentarily, by the arrangement of the Lord, confused. He's a very busy man. He doesn't have time to wait around, because again, hanyahani bhutani. Every moment, millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death. So he arranges that. Of course, he's mystical. He's able to be. Demigods are not like the Lord, Avijñāna Swarūpa, omnipresent and all-knowing, but they are endowed with certain powers which makes them almost omnipresent for their service. For your service, you may be endowed with particular resources or qualifications or qualities. Prabhupada said the pure devotee has all mystic powers to utilize in the service of the Lord. And Prabhupada also writes that the Lord is willing to bestow his full opulence upon his devotee for the purpose of service. And that's in relationship to Narad Muni in particular. These are borrowed plumes. We should not become puffed up if we develop even this iota of a spiritual quality, knowing that it's all a gift of God for his seva, for his service. So Yamaraj is saying that, wait a minute, the time is ticking, and it's late for his appointment. And he's thinking, which of these is the sculptor? And he's getting a little bit anxious, but he's very intelligent. Why is he intelligent? Because he's one of the 12 Mahajans. You can't fool the Mahajans. They're the authorities in the science of devotional service. Tesham satadayuktanam vajatam pratipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. To those who serve me with love and devotion, I give that sharp intelligence which is required to get out of the entanglement of material life and enter into the realm of devotional service. It's a grace of Krishna. He's thinking, the light bulb comes on, aha. He says, look at this sloppy work. I mean, these are obviously statues, but I'd have to say that the sculptor was like grade C or D, not a grade B or A. I mean, look at, you can see there that the nose is not shaped, there's a little nick there. And the foot's just off a little bit of an angle there. The painting there. This is, I'm disgusted. This is really sloppy work. I can't believe someone could do such. So the pottery, or the sculptor, his false ego. He spoke, he said, what do you mean, Yamaraj? I'm one of the best in town. Yamara said, thank you very much, come with me. You can't cheat death. You can't conquer over time. Tam I am, Krishna says, the destroyer. There's a Bengali proverb. Gaye gu mukile yame chari na. Even if I smeared stool on my body to avoid punishment for my sins, Yamaraj would not release me. He'll still come and take you. He has his ways. Or Walt Disney, when he learned he had cancer in the 50s, I mean, there was practically no medical way to deal with cancer in the 50s, so he heard that you could freeze the body and then just freeze it to the point where life doesn't go from the body, like suspended animation or something like that, like the yogis do in the Himalayas. How do they do it? How do they sit in that freezing atmosphere on the glaciers? Last night before I was sleeping, I was watching a BBC DVD about the Ganges. Fascinating production about the whole history of the Ganges, spiritually and materially, and the effects on the present day. And anyway, it showed some yogis sitting on the ice at Gangotri, and even up at Kedarnath, which is the highest, they're sitting there. I actually met a yogi one time. I was walking to Muktinath in Nepal, and we were walking in our big boots. Of course, I had my dhoti on, but I had my long underwear on and my down jacket and two hats and a scarf. We're walking through it was late or early spring, so the snow, ice was there. We're walking up to Muktinath, and we met one sadhu coming down, and you know, we were always greeting the sadhu. So the sadhu was wrapped in a chadar only. Thinking, oh my gosh. So we're sitting here chatting with him. I looked, and he was in bare feet on the ice, standing there. I noticed at the beginning, I went, whoa, I said, Bhima, look at that. Bhima Prasad was, look at that, he's got bare feet. He's walking in bare feet in the glaciers. He said, yeah. And then we talked about 10 minutes, and as we were about to leave, Bhima said, look now, his feet had melted the ice down to the hard rock as he was standing there. His feet warmed the ice, and his ankles, his feet were down that far, standing there. I went, whoa. I went, Hare Krishna Maharaj, please bless me. I said, no, bless me. I took his hand, I put it on my head. Say something. So yogis have these siddhis, and I saw it with my own eyes. So therefore I believe this chapter, that all these siddhis you can develop. He was there, and he was just... So they have the power, they can maintain the life air even in extreme conditions. So Walt Disney heard that science was approaching something along that line. So he said, freeze my body, and in 10 or 20 years, when you find the cure for cancer, then unthaw me, and I'll be in a sort of state of like semi-comatose, but my body will remain refrigerated so the cancer won't spread. You unthaw me, and then when you found the cure, then give it to me, give me the shot, and dikayacha. So that's what they did. He didn't die of the cancer. They froze, not froze in the sense that froze that life goes away, but just to the point like the yogis or the heartbeat, instead of boom, 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 like ours, it's boom. And you're like in a semi-conscious, whatever. That's what they did. That's history. So what happened? About 10 years later, some of the family members who were really greedy for the money that he'd accumulated, this huge financial empire and the power that it had, someone, they don't know who, snuck into the particular place. It was an annex to the hospital. And they unplugged the machine and covered it up so no one could see. So several weeks went by, and then the nurses or the people that worked in those vaults, they started smelling something very bad, and they actually opened up and they found out that that current had been stopped, and he died in that. What a horrible story. But he thought he could cheat death. There you go again. So we can't stop death. We can't stop time. But don't worry, because there's always a good ending in Krishna consciousness. We also have to die. But we can use time to our advantage. Narada Muni says to Srila Vyasadeva, Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tareva yamayam dravyam napunati chakikshitam. O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? An example is given. Prabhupada gives the analogy that in India you may drink too much milk, dut, in the hot season, and that will cause diarrhea. But how do you cure diarrhea? Well, most ISKCON devotees know, after being to India a couple of times. Well, of course, now you can buy a pill, but in the old days, I remember, these things weren't so readily available. We didn't have the money. We didn't even know. So the technique was that when we went to the Mayapur festival, we got dysentery, we would take yogurt and a little banana. And wait a minute, we're taking milk. No, you're taking milk, but it's transformed a little bit. And although milk has a heating effect, thereby causing the diarrhea in the stomach, yogurt has a cooling effect. And it cools down, overheated stomach, and the next day you can have khichdi and chapati and sabji. And I know you're hungry because yesterday was Ekadasi, so I'm just teasing you. So although on one hand, time is a great destroyer, for the Vaishnav and the Vaishnavi, time can be the best friend. Yes. Although a Christian can be very heavy with the materialists, he's very kind to his devotees. And there's a nice verse by Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ugropi anugra evayam shabhaktanam nikeshari keshariva shabhaktanam keshariva shapotanam anyesham ugra vikrama. All in the Sringa Bhaktas know this verse. Although very ferocious, the lion is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadeva is very soft and gentle to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Bhagavan Narasimhadeva ki. So how can this Kala, this all-devouring time, very powerful, but very subtle, but very powerfully taking everything away from us, and finally our life or death, how can time be a friend to a devotee? If we use time in the service of the Lord, then she's our friend. Ayu harati vaipumsham udyan ashtam chayan asho tashyate yat shano nitta utam shloka vartaya. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except one who utilizes time by discussing the topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. That's what we're doing here. In the last 45 minutes, as Prabhupada would note sometimes, billions of cells in your body have died and been replenished by older ones that don't look so nice. What a loss. No, there's no loss. Because you're not the body, don't forget. There's no loss because you're spending your time in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. What is the result? By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart of the candidate becomes destroyed almost to nil. And devotional service becomes established as irrevocable fact. It means whatever advancement you make on the path of devotional service is an eternal investment. It's not never, you never lose it. Of course, you can lose it by aparat, by offense, but if you remain good devotee, then life after life, you accumulate the benefit from this investment. So if we use our time like this, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmaniva. Take your choice, one, or you like to do two of those things, or I kind of like three of those things, or I like to mix four or five, I want to go back to two. It's okay. Just always be engaged in one of the nine forms of devotional service. And then time is actually on your side, because time is facilitating your becoming Krishna conscious. Therefore, a devotee utilizes every second of his time in Krishna service. Very careful. Like Prabhupada said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. That's how Prabhupada approached the subject matter of time. It's a quote you hear on the japa tape sometimes, or from somewhere. There's a bhajan or something. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, if we are actively engaged, sometimes we're not actively engaged. We're between engagements. What do? Space out. No, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And I know from whatever little association I had with Prabhupada, whenever we were together, his tongue was always decorated with the holy names. Like I travel, it wasn't like, of course, Prabhupada was preaching to Vyasasan or giving, but like I noticed when we were walking someplace or on the way to the airplane or coming out of the airport on the way to the car, probably Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Govinda, Hare Krishna, Chinda. I was always listening. He's always thinking of Krishna. Because he loves Krishna. If you love someone, you always remember them and you never forget them. So on the tip of his tongue, he was always glorifying his beloved. So we utilize time very carefully because we accept Krishna's statement in the Gita that he is time. And just as we deal with any feature of Krishna with great respect and care, the holy name, the deity, prasadam, whenever we encounter the Lord as the deity, as his name, as his prasad, as his representatives, the spiritual master of the Vaishnavas, we're very careful in our dealings. We deal with time very carefully. We never waste a moment. Because we know that time, our allotted time is very short. And once it's gone forever. What is Chanakapanda saying? It's Niti Shasta. Ayusha Shana Ekopi. La Labhya Shvarna Kotibi. Shvarna means like gold. Na chinnira takam niti kanahanis tato dika. I love this verse. Even one moment of life spent cannot be regained for millions of gold coins. Therefore, what greater loss is there than time spent uselessly? Think about it. Philosophy is meant to guide us through life because, you know, generally we're guided by our emotions. I want this, I don't like this, I feel bad. We're meant to control the lower self, the senses and the mind, with the intelligence. And how do you control the intelligence? How do you utilize it? With philosophy. We're rational animals. We're animals. We're rational. We're rationale. We're meant to see the world through our intelligence, not our intelligence, the intelligence of our spiritual masters. Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. We don't see this world with our eyes. We see through our ears. So as we absorb the knowledge in the Bhagavatam class, throughout the day, we don't the class is over and next class will come tomorrow. No. Just like you eat in the morning and you take benefit from that nourishment to give you strength through the entire day until you get lunch and then dinner. So you take the philosophy that you hear in the morning, the nourishment, and you utilize it in your mind, your intelligence throughout the day, and you guide yourself through the world, through the opportunities and the dangers of the world with your intelligence. Everything you need to get out of this world and into the spiritual world is there in the philosophy, in Prabhupada's books. So we don't waste time. We're not like karmis. They have that saying, let's kill some time. Hello? I'm not going to kill time. We're going to Shravana Makirtana Vishnu Shmarana Padasevana Marjana. We're going to do something like that. So we utilize time in serving Krishna. Time will become our friend because time will bring us closer to God. Although time brings the materialistic person closer and closer to death every day, because we're engaged in devotional service, because we're utilizing our time for Krishna, our time is bringing us closer to God. Thus we don't lament as we get older and we approach death. We're not on the materialistic platform. We don't look in the mirror and go, oh, God. Oh. We go, hey, great. Like Lokanath Swami said, I'm glad I'm not young anymore. I don't have to struggle to control my mind and senses. My body is no longer fit for the type of sense gratification that I desired, so just give up. It's all useless. And hopefully as a result of doing some service over the years, you do have some genuine spiritual realizations. That's more valuable than the beauty of youth, is genuine spiritual realizations. If you base your happiness and whatever on your looks, you're deceived and you're going to be very unhappy very soon, because the scientists say that the body grows until 27 years of age, and after 27 it starts to deteriorate. Therefore Chanaka Pandit has another verse in his Niti Shastra, 1. Person says to another, one person says to a lady, my dear lady, why are your eyes cast downward? And the lady replies, you fool, don't you see that the pearl of my youth has slipped away? So this is the mentality of a materialistic person, not a devotee. But there's a saying, grow old gracefully. You can do that only if you have spiritual knowledge. And your pleasure is within, not without. So we have to study. We should be eager to absorb the knowledge. As the moon is the ornament of night, as a chaste woman is the ornament of a Krishna conscious man, so knowledge is the ornament of everything. So we don't lament because time's on our side. Time means that we're coming closer. It's not easy to grasp this. Not by one Bhagavatam class, but a lifetime of service will do the necessary. We're headed for our spiritual body in Vrindavan. The spiritual body doesn't grow old, get diseased, and die. Why? Because there's no influence of time in the spiritual world. This is the difference. Of course, we read and we try to understand how there's the passing from moment to moment in the spiritual world, but the influence of time, the sense of destruction and destroying is not there. It's ever fresh. Every time Krishna performs one of the same pastimes he's performed since whenever, it's like the first time. This is the potency of yoga maya. Krishna's herded the cows godzillions of times. But every morning when he gets up and the boys come and they watch Mother Yasoda, they're from the on the windowsill watching her bathing little kanai, and he's looking at his friends and twirling his flute and saying, hey boys, let's get out of here and go to the forest. They've done it zillions, but the boys, it's like the first time. It's the excitement, it's there. It's the time has passed, nothing's destroyed, it's the spiritual world. It's ever fresh. This hardly can be conceived by a mundane intelligence. Just like Bhakti Sananda Saraswati said one time, you cannot perceive the blue of Krishna with your present eyes. It is a spiritual tint. It is a spirit. You need spiritual eyes, divine eyes. You have to awaken your spiritual senses to really see the blue, the genuine blue. This blue of this world is a perverted reflection. Everything's a perverted reflection here. But the real blue, you need the divine eyes to see that. So to understand the concept how there's time, but there's no influence of time in the spiritual world. This is a little bit hard for us at this point, but you just wait. One day you'll understand. Prabhupada told me. He said, any questions? I said, Prabhupada, in your lecture you said that a pure devotee sees God everywhere. Therefore, he's never without the Lord. But in the Shikshastakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of a devotee, says, oh Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more, and tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. And I said, it sounds contradictory. In one hand, the devotee sees God everywhere. On the other hand, he's feeling separation. Can you please answer my question? I was very proud of my question. So Prabhupada revealed me for the fool that I was and I am. He said, he looked at me, he said, at this point you cannot understand the answer. He said, in due course of time, you will understand. So on the strength of that statement, I have hope in Krishna consciousness that my spiritual master said, he predicted that one day, I don't know, some future life, I'll understand all these things, realize this Krishna consciousness like that. So, yes, there's obviously time, but we hear there's no time in the sense that there's no influence of time like we know it in this world. Let's put it like that. Time is destroying. Then there's nothing destroyed in the spiritual world. In our Goswami literature, it's described how Mother Yasoda is cooking the grains in the pot for Krishna's breakfast. Those grains, like everything in the spiritual world, are conscious. Even the ground is conscious. Chintamani prakata sadamasu kalpar viksha lakshar viteshu shudabir abhipalyantam. Everything's conscious in the spiritual world. So the grains are also conscious, and their pleasure is to be enjoyed by Krishna. But as soon as Krishna eats them, they're back in the pot, ready to be cooked again. So everything's eternal. Nothing's subject to destruction in the spiritual world. Life there is like an eternal festival. So what devotee would lament giving up his body, this body, for his siddhadeha? We don't lament the passing of time, because what is the conclusion? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. What's the conclusion? I have to give up this body. Well, so what? Thank God. Many times you meet old people. They're just so old. They say, I hope you can live longer. I don't want to live longer. I want to get out of this. I mean, that you come to that point even as a materialist. And a devotee, he sees this body as an obstacle to his service to Krishna. Because it's so imperfect in so many ways. We can't offer perfect, you know, we have to eat and waste time and go to the bathroom and then wash our clothes and so much time taking care of the body, which we could be used chanting, doing puja, studying. The gopis, they were complaining that they had to blink and not see Krishna for a fraction of a second. That's why in Ekadasi we cut down on the bodily necessities so that we have more time pure devotional service, for chanting in particular, and hearing, Shravanam Kirtan. It brings Vishnu Shmaranam. That's what Ekadasi, oh, it's Ekadasi, oh God, no grace. No. Ekadasi means that you decrease the eating. You purposely undergo austerity. Why? Because if you don't eat, you know, then you won't become sleepy, and there'll be more time. You gain a few extra minutes, a few hours maybe. So therefore in India, the tradition is, in the Gaudiyas, I mean, the original tradition was that you don't eat, you don't drink, you don't do anything but stay in your bhajan kutir and chant all day and all night, because Ekadasi also means the night time. But that's if only if you have a strong desire for hearing and chanting. And if you want to know you're making progress in Krishna consciousness, it's not that you're a good dresser now, or your tilak straight, or that your sikh is perfectly in the center of your head, or your hair is tight. No, your progress is how eager you are for the process of Krishna consciousness. And that will one day turn into your eagerness to associate with the divine couple themselves. So time does not affect a devotee in the same way as a materialist. time is our friend. For a non-devotee, because they're just struggling in this world, the passing of time is very slow and painful. But for devotees, it's very quick and very blissful. Of course, a devotee feels pain in this world, but not suffering. We feel some pain, but not suffering, extended pain. Time passes very quickly. When you do something you like, time passes quickly. And when you're doing something you don't like, time passes very slowly. Remember when, before you were a devotee, and how often you'd look at your watch at work? Oh, God. And then you look again 10 seconds later. You know, 5 o'clock. I remember in my mind, 5 o'clock. That was the number that was on me. 5 o'clock. I get off work. 5 o'clock. But now I get up, and all of a sudden it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Because I just so much enjoy what I'm doing. I mean, I can tell you frankly, it's just like my life has gone by so quickly. It's just as if I just joined this movement a few days ago. I can see the photographs. Yeah, okay, there's Bhakta Brian going on his first Harinam, and there I'm getting initiated, and there's my marriage, and then there's my temple present, there's my sannyas, there's my guruship, there's my trip to Australia for the 2009-2010 Carnival Spiritual, but it's like gone by so fast. Because when you're doing something you like, time passes very quickly. So let us all engage our time in Krishna's service. Let time work in our favor. And very soon, Prabhupada said, we will have our ISKCON in the spiritual sky. Rantara Shima Bhagavatam Ki Kira Prabhupada Ki Shri Shivara Bhalavji Ki Oda Premanandi. I'd just like to add a little footnote that this morning we're going out with our kirtan party. I mean, 50-50, depends on the weather. But the area that we're chanting in is very small. What's that street called? Yeah, it's a little street, and we can't maneuver with a big kirtan party there. I mean, you're up the street in 10 seconds and down the street in 10 seconds. So we're requesting that we just, today at least, we just take our little team out. We're like, you know, commandos. We know how to work in these situations. We're like 10 or 12, and we know how to go down the street and how to, you know, distribute the invitations and distribute a few books. So we're just humbly requesting that today, because such a small area and we have such a short time and we have such an urgent message to distribute to get people to come to the festival tonight, that which it'll just be the commandos on a secret mission. We'll report back to you, hopefully with a successful mission into enemy territory. So no guests on the Harinam today, but hopefully there'll be other Harinams while we're here. We can all join together for the Yuga Dharma. Hare Krishna. Have a wonderful breakfast. You look really hungry.